if you have to hear your state leader saying that you are not a real human, but you are an ideology, I mean, that must be very, very, very difficult to wake up every morning and to know that you are paying taxes for these kind of things.
Sometimes some people might be a little hesitant, and I understand, and I can empathize. But at this point of our lives being taken from us at the hands of police for so long, we have got to speak up.
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Queensland stifles conversion therapy, a Belgian activist assesses Poland's anti-queer crackdown, and U.S. gay teens stand with Black Lives Matter. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Lucia Chappell.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 15th, 2020. Queensland became the first Australian state to outlaw conversion therapy on August 13th, and a few other jurisdictions in the country are following the lead of its legislative assembly. Conversion therapy is the widely discredited practice that claims to change a queer person's sexual orientation or gender identity. At least in the Western world, virtually every professional medical and mental health organization has condemned it as a waste of time at best. More often, it's a psychologically traumatizing experience for its victims. Queensland Health Minister Stephen Miles calls it harmful, deceptive, and unethical, and told Parliament that being LGBTIQ is not an affliction or disease that requires medical treatment. Convictions carry 12 months in prison, or 18 months if the victim is under 18 years of age. Opponents, like the Australian Christian Lobby, complained that the bill would turn doctors into criminals. However, survivors of the quack therapy are worried because the legislation only applies to healthcare professionals. Two survivor advocate organizations said in a joint statement that the bulk of the harm occurs over time in informal settings, not in therapeutic contexts. In most of those cases, the alleged conversion has a religious component, which critics call trying to pray the gay away. A bill to ban conversion therapy for minors was introduced this week in the Australian Capital Territory. The state government in Victoria began public consultations in October on similar legislation.
That horrendous August 4th explosion in Beirut that killed hundreds and injured thousands decimated the city's queer neighborhood and at least two of its organizations. The blast left an estimated 300,000 homeless, including thousands of LGBTQ people. Almost 3 tons of highly volatile ammonium nitrate had been unsafely stored for 6 years in the city's port area. Lebanon's entire government resigned in the face of massive street protests in the aftermath of the explosion. They had already faced heavy criticism for corruption and a crumbling economy. Lebanon's leading queer advocacy group is HELM, the Arab world's first LGBTQ rights organization. Their offices, almost half a mile from the epicenter of the explosion, were reduced to rubble. HELM's executive director, Tarek Zidane, said, "Nothing much of inside the center remains. Doors, windows, fixtures, furniture, everything was blown out." He says that several staff members were hospitalized, but was thankful that no lives were lost. Zidane declared, "We are going to survive, and the center will survive." Proud Lebanon is a smaller queer rights group in Beirut whose offices were also badly damaged. Some staff members were seriously injured, according to the queer advocacy group All Out. Fundraising efforts are underway by members of Lebanon's queer expat community in the UK through a GoFundMe page. The global queer rights group Outright Action International is also raising funds to support HELM's rebuilding efforts and to help countless LGBTIQ people who have been left homeless.
Transgender rights advanced in two U.S. federal courts this week. A ruling by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit upheld a lower court decision against a Florida school district that had denied a trans male student access to the boys' restrooms. Drew Adams was attending Allen D. Nice High School in Ponte Vedra in 2017 when he filed suit, represented by Lambda Legal. He's now 19 and a student at the University of Central Florida. Adams said in a statement released by Lambda that he was very happy to see justice prevail and that high school is hard enough without having your school separate you from your peers and mark you as inferior. That was on August 7th, and the same day, the U.S. District Court of Idaho rejected the state's refusal to allow transgender residents to change their birth certificate gender designations. The same court took similar action in 2018, but the Republican-dominated state legislature tried to get around that ruling. Lambda Legal also represented the two transgender Idahoans who jumped to file the successful lawsuit. A press release issued by the queer legal advocacy group said that the court could not have been clearer. What was discriminatory in 2018 remains discriminatory today. Lambda accused the Idaho legislature and Republican Governor Brad Little of trying to deny the very existence of transgender people by stripping them of their identity.
A set of two recent public opinion polls commissioned by the conservative Jamaica Observer newspaper yielded discouraging results for LGBTQ people in the Caribbean nation. 93% of respondents support the colonial-era laws that criminalize private consensual adult gay sex. Buggery is an antiquated term for sodomy. A section of the Offenses Against the Person Act punishes buggery with up to 10 years in prison at hard labor. The surveys were conducted March 12th through 15th and July 9th through 12th. 1,200 voting-age Jamaicans were asked if they wanted that law to be changed. Only 3% in March and 5% in July said yes. The sampling error is 2.5%. Jamaican government officials have been discussing a public super-referendum for such socially contentious issues as homosexuality and abortion since 2016. No concrete steps have been taken as yet to initiate such a vote.
Former U.S. Vice President and presumptive nominee Joe Biden's choice of California Senator Kamala Harris as his running mate made the Democratic Party's presidential ticket the most queer-supportive in history. Harris is the daughter of immigrant parents, a Jamaican father and an Indian mother, born in Oakland, California. She's the first woman of color on a major political party ticket. Echoing the racist, Trump-fueled birther attacks on Barack Obama, Republican operatives are already circulating the absurd theory that Harris is not eligible to hold the office because she's not a U.S. citizen by birth. The new Democratic duo acknowledged the fight for queer equality in their first joint appearance. Biden praised Harris for being an early voice for marriage equality. Harris praised all those in the streets fighting for racial justice, including, in her words, the LGBTQ Americans who know that love is love, and those who are saying that, yes, Black Lives Matter. Virtually every major U.S. queer rights group praised the Biden-Harris ticket. They're already salivating with anticipation over the presidential debates, pitting Biden against liar-in-chief Donald Trump. Veteran queer Democratic activist Richard Socarides also predicts that Harris will eat Mike Pence alive at their vice presidential debate and spit him out on the floor, as he deserves. And the cherry on top of a White House filled with LGBTQ allies in January would be the highly regarded Haitian-American lesbian political operative Karine Jean-Pierre as Vice President Harris's chief of staff.
Finally, the U.S. Post Office has released the first depiction of drag on a U.S. postage stamp.
What's up, Doc?
The San Francisco-based Bay Area reporter was first to report that Bugs Bunny is in drag in two of the 10 new stamps featuring the cartoon rabbit. The series was released on July 27th, the 80th anniversary of the Wascally Wabbit's debut in A Wild Hare. One of the new stamps shows Bugs as a mermaid in blonde wig and ruby red lipstick from one of his Merry Melodies Warner Brother cartoons. The other has bugs with blonde braided tresses and a gold-winged headpiece as the Brunhilde of Richard Wagner's Siegfried in the classic 1957 animated satire What's Opera, Doc? With Elmer Fudd as the heroic lead. Meanwhile, Donald Trump and his sycophantic followers are trying to completely gut the U.S. Postal Service. He even admits that his ham-picked Postmaster General is working to undermine this November's presidential election, most of which will need to be conducted by mail because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Bugs Bunny series are forever stamps, so if the Postal Service and the rest of us survive Donald Trump, there'll forever be enough postage for first-class mail of 1 ounce or less. You can get the series online at usps.com/bugsbunny80.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending August 15th, 2020. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency, but is still being written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out Radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappelle. Stay healthy.
And I'm Christopher Gall. Stay safe.
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
This reminds us in the LGBTQ community of the beginnings of our own fight. Black and brown LGBTQ activists were crucial to the modern gay liberation movement in its nascency.
Queer youth find the Stonewall Black Lives Matter link later in the program.
The LGBTI community gets scapegoated from basically everything, portrayed as a Western ideology. A lot of Polish activists fear that Poland is going into the same direction as Russia has been going. So yeah, the LGBTI community in Poland at the moment is very, very pessimistic about their future.
LGBTQ community in Poland has good reason to be pessimistic and optimistic at the same time. Belgian gay activist and political scientist Remy Bonny traveled to Warsaw to support the movement in the wake of the re-election of homophobic President Andrzej Duda. Activists have been arrested, pro-queer MPs harassed, random gays have been beaten in the streets, and yet the powerful response from the community has been called Poland's Stonewall. Bonny talked last time with This Way Out Sydney-based correspondent William Broom about the ongoing crisis. Their conversation now links that situation to right-wing activity throughout Europe.
Can you tell us a bit about the Knife International movement and what it's about, and also Poland's involvement?
They're also often called SOW. It's basically a far-right neo-Nazi group from Russia, and they are responsible, for instance, for the murder on Yelena Grigorieva last year. Yelena Grigorieva was one of the most open lesbian activists based in St. Petersburg in Russia, and she has been murdered by a very far-right group last year in Russia, and that was the group behind it. And now, yes, they have been announcing that they will not stop at the Russian border, but they will also target LGBTI activists in Western Europe. One of them is the Netherlands, and I've been in contact with the people in the Netherlands about it. We at this moment assume that they are mainly targeting people from Chechnya. That's something that we already assumed for many years, actually, that people fleeing from Chechnya to flee from persecution because of their sexual orientation, that they are being targeted by Russian and Chechen far-right groups also in Europe. We had murders of Chechens, not LGBTI Chechens, but Chechen human rights activists already in Europe by people linked to the Chechen government. So at this moment, especially the case in the Netherlands, we assume that it's mainly targeting gay people from Chechnya.
What is life like for the average LGBTIQ identifying person in Poland?
Yeah, it's a very, very difficult life, of course. I mean, if you have to hear your state leader saying that you are not a real human, but you are an ideology, I mean, that must be very, very, very difficult to wake up every morning and to know that you are paying taxes for that kind of country and these kind of things. But on the other hand, Poland, as I already told you, it's a very, very divided country. And the division is between cities which are very, very Western and progressive, where there is often a very, very vibrant and big gay nightlife scene, for instance, and the countryside, where, yeah, the countryside is more or less comparable to Russia if it comes to conservativeness. So, yeah, on the countryside, people, if they are openly gay, they basically flee to the bigger cities. And in the bigger cities, they have a more or less open life. What we do see is that people often stay into the closet for the rest of their lives with their families. That's a matter of fact. Especially younger people who come from these countrysides and go to the bigger cities, they often, as I told you, have a very relatively open life, even at work. But yeah, they do stay into the closet with their families. So it's a very, very divided country. But yeah, the most harmful thing at this moment is the rhetoric being used by the politicians. Especially imagine that you are, let's say, a 14 years old boy or girl discovering his sexual orientation or gender identity. You're in school and you have to hear that the local government where your school is based has declared itself an LGBTI-free zone, that your president is saying that you are struggling and that's dehuman, basically.
Is there anything that the world community can do to help LGBTIQ people in Poland or offer some form of solidarity?
Yeah, the main thing that you can do is of course, share the stories and about what is happening in Poland at this moment, because of course, as I also told you, Poland was in the last 20 years was a country who was going from communism to a liberal democracy, and it was almost in its final stages of getting a real liberal democracy, and now everything is going backwards again in Poland. So also the understanding that what is happening in Poland might also at some point happen in your own country, and that is not just, you don't just have to support the Polish people, but it's also to support yourself. To consolidate LGBTI rights and our normal lives. That's the first thing that we can do, of course, but also on a European level, people from Europe should demand from their own politicians, from their personal member of the European Parliament, to act upon this. Europe can do a lot against this. Europe can take away all subsidies that are going to Poland, for instance. Poland is very, very reliant on funding coming from the European Union. So if Europe somehow links their funding to upholding at least human rights, that would already change a lot for Poland. So yeah, also just demanding from your own politicians to act upon this. And that's also the same for people living in the US on a diplomatic channel. Of course, there are a lot of links between Poland and the US, and also Poland is very dependent on US investments. So demand your own politicians. I know it's going to be difficult with the current White House, but to act also in a diplomatic way to change all of this.
And finally, Remy, can you tell us how we can find out about your great work that you're doing?
Yeah, so you can go to my Twitter. That is just Remy Bonny, my name. Or you can go to my website, remybonny.com, and subscribe to my newsletter.
Remy Bonny in Warsaw, thank you so much for joining us.
This is William Broom in Sydney, Australia, for This Way Out.
I'm Roman Kalinin from Moscow. You are listening to This Way Out. Оставайтесь на нашей волне.
Stay on our wavelength.
The home of the infamous U.S. federal prison Sing Sing may seem like a strange place to get an education in anti-racism and join up with the movement against police brutality, but these queer teens went to Ossining, New York to do just that.
This is Outcasting Overtime from Media for the Public Good. producer of Public Radio's LGBTQ youth programs. Hi, I'm Lucas, an outcast and youth participant. In 2019, New York City hosted World Pride for the first time and celebrated the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising. As it has for decades, the celebration included elaborate floats, rainbows everywhere, and a party that seemed to go on all month long. In 2020, of course, LGBTQ Pride Month in New York looked very different because of both the mass shutdown caused by the COVID-19 pandemic and the Black Lives Matter protests, sparked by the killings of Black people by police without apparent justification. Most recently, at that point, the killing of George Floyd by Minneapolis police. This reminds us in the LGBTQ community of the beginnings of our own fight. Black and brown LGBTQ activists were crucial to the modern gay liberation movement in its nascency. Marsha P. Johnson, a Black transgender woman, was a key figure in starting the Stonewall Uprising in 1969, which arose out of a police raid of a gay bar, the Stonewall Inn, in Greenwich Village in New York City. The first gay pride march a year after the Stonewall Uprising was a celebration of gay militancy and the activism that had taken hold during that first year after Stonewall. Over the decades, it grew into a spectacular celebration involving millions of people in New York City, not to mention countless more in cities around the world. Some people think that the march has grown too spectacular and commercial, and in 2019, a group called the Reclaim Pride Coalition held an alternative march intended to get back to the spirit of the first gay pride marches. In 2020, the COVID pandemic caused the initial cancellation of both the main and alternative marches, but the killing of George Floyd prompted the Reclaim Pride Coalition to undo the cancellation of its alternative march and hold a protest march specifically in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. The fight for LGBTQ equality is not done until everyone is equal, both in and outside the LGBTQ community, including brown and Black people. Black lives are human lives, and here at Outcasting, in observance of LGBTQ Pride Month, we wanted to amplify the voices of our Black neighbors fighting to end systematic racism and police brutality. On Saturday, June 6th, the peaceful town of Ossining in New York's lower Hudson River Valley came alive and made its voice heard. Hundreds of people gathered at the Hudson River waterfront and marched through town to another park to protest police brutality and to show their support for the Black Lives Matter movement. Black activists of all ages, youth performers, and the Ossining Police Department expressed their grief and outrage at the deaths of George Floyd and so many other Black Americans. Nadia Zaidan, one of the youth organizers of the June 6th protest, spoke about what Black Lives Matter means to her as a non-Black person of color.
As a person of color, I do understand on a personal level what it means to face these like microaggressions, these racial injustices. And I know how it feels for your race and for your appearance to be an additional stressor in your life. And it really does take a toll on you. And right now, like, if we're being honest, it is the worst for Black individuals in America right now. So I just think we need to, like, stand up for the people who need to be heard the most. Because knowing how it feels, nobody deserves that. Nobody ever deserves to have their race or the way they look be an additional stressor on their life. That should not be a hardship for them. Because a lot of people will try to say we're colorblind or that they're not racist. Or that they're not racist, but colorblindness does not exist because it is a system of oppression and a system of privilege that is working against people of color in our country. And people really do have to speak out against that and speak out against that system. We have to reform that system. We have to change that. And we're never going to change that system if people don't recognize their own privilege and if people don't listen to the voices that need to be heard.
Cheyenne Bell, another youth organizer, told us why she's fighting.
To me, I would think it's doing what's right for people of color, specifically Black people. It's fighting for something that we should have gotten a long time ago, but never gotten. It's so much more than just protesting and posting. It's fighting for what we need as people to survive.
Don't shoot!
After 2 hours of marching through the streets, the group spread out across a baseball diamond to hear a prayer, a song, and a speech, all demanding action. A woman in the audience held up a large rainbow flag with BLM written in bold letters. Finally, the whole park fell silent as everyone went down on one knee for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, the same amount of time that the Minneapolis police officer knelt on George Floyd's neck, causing his death. When the event was over, I spoke with Jalae Knowles, one of the featured speakers.
The Black Lives Matter movement means the world to me right now, especially because of I feel as if enough is enough. Enough has been enough, but now our momentum has changed and people are speaking up. And what this movement's different right now, because I believe there's more people who are advocating, more people who are willing to educate themselves, more people who are willing to listen, and we're forming allyship. And for me personally, my main focus in this is our youth, our kids. I work with kids at Roseville Elementary School here in Ossining, and I absolutely adore them, and I want a better future for them because they ask me questions about this. I want to tell them that their future is going to be better. And I am just so passionate about how we need equity right now. We need help. And after that is when we can talk more about equality. But right now we need help. So we need voices. We need allies. We need people to speak up and continue the conversation so we can keep going.
So you said we need allies. What would you say is the number one thing that an ally can do to help support the movement?
To continue the conversation, have these uncomfortable conversations, and continue to use your voice. You have to find your voice first, because sometimes some people might be a little hesitant, and I understand, and I can empathize. But at this point of our lives being taken from us at the hands of police for so long, we have got to speak up. And I am just so proud of our community for using this time to find their voice to speak up.
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
The rights we now have as LGBTQ people have resulted in part from the efforts of Black LGBTQ activists. So while Pride Month has ended for this year, the fight for Black lives continues. And although the protests aren't dominating the headlines as they did in June, at least not right now as we record this, it's important that you keep educating yourself, supporting Black-owned businesses and Black content creators, and signing petitions. And keep in mind that if you're of age to vote, one of the most powerful ways you can support Black lives is to vote for candidates who support equality for all. You can view a slideshow of this piece with photographs by Outcaster Justin. You'll find a link on our website, outcastingmedia.org. Thanks for listening to Outcasting Overtime from Media for the Public Good, producer of Public Radio's LGBTQ youth programs. Visit us at outcastingmedia.org to get information about Outcasting, watch Outcasting videos, access our social media links, and listen to all Outcasting content. Thanks, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Christopher Gall and Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, from William Broom, and from Outcasters Lucas and Justin, produced by Mark Sofus. Bob Marley performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks to kicking assets from the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentrum, and donors James Kennedy and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For associate producer Lucia Chappelle and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on CFRC Kingston, Ontario, WRIR Richmond, Virginia, KEOS College Station, Texas, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy and stay tuned.